Hi guys, welcome to Never Too Much True Crime. I'm your host, Amaya. Welcome. I started a new series on my channel where I talk about a true crime story every week. Also, before I start, how are you guys doing? I hope you guys are having a great summer. I know that I am. This case is one of the most disturbing cases. I mean, every case that I've done so far is really disturbing. But this one is the icing on the cake. This week's case is about Jerry Brudos. Jerome Henry Brudos was born on January 31st, 1939 in Webster, South Dakota. Growing up, Jerry went through emotional and physical abuse from his own mother. No matter what he did, his mom always found a way to make him feel bad. She was very rude to him because he was a boy and she wanted to have a girl. It had nothing to do with him. It was just his mother's trauma, and she was just projecting her trauma onto him. It's just cruel. The family would often move and finally settle in Salem, Oregon. At the age of 5, Jerry already had a foot fetish, playing with heels at a junkyard. It was said that he tried to take his teacher's shoes. He would steal underwear from his neighbors. He would get caught wearing the shoes that he found at the junkyard. He would take the shoes home and he would start wearing them. He would get caught by his mom, his own mother calling him wicked for wearing heels. Which, if you know anything about heels, high heels, men wore heels first before women. His mother just hated him for no reason. So anything that he did, she would just, you know, get upset. During his teenage years, you know, being in and out of psychiatric hospitals, things started to escalate. He would start stalking women, beating them and stealing their shoes. At the age of 17, he kidnapped a woman, threatening to hurt her if she didn't listen to him, forcing her to strip so he could take photos of her. Jerry would get arrested and get sent back to a ward. He was evaluated, and it turns out he had hatred for women, and he had a deep hatred for his own mother. So mommy issues and misogyny doesn't mix well at all. After being evaluated, Jerry was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Still, he managed to graduate in 1957, then became an electronics technician. He joined the Army in March 1957, but was discharged by October. In 1961, Jerry gets married to a 17-year-old, Darcy. They would have two children together. He would tell his wife to do certain things like, hey, you know, I need you to do housework, but I need you to be naked and wear high heels. She knew about his fetish and would play along, but after a while in their marriage, things went left. She started to not engage with his fetish, making Jerry go crazy and continue stealing underwears and stuff like that. At this point, his mental health is not good. He starts complaining about having blackouts. So trying to hide his urges wasn't working. In fact, it made it worse. He would also cross-dress and use a different identity as a coping mechanism. Jerry kept all the shoes and underwear from his victims, also placing their bodies in his garage. His wife was not allowed to go in there at all. People speculated that Darcy knew what her husband was doing. She was scared of him and did what he asked. Other people said she didn't know. But according to Darcy, she never heard anything unusual happening. She knew he would leave late at night and would bring women's items back home. Jerry would also wear heels around the house. In my opinion, she probably didn't know her husband was such a twisted human being, but I do think that she knew he was a weirdo. On top of him being odd, he had kids, he had a family. Keep this in mind, doing all this. Imagine coming home to your wife and kids and killing someone else's daughter. Unbelievable. Now let's talk about the victims. In 1967, Jerry was walking downtown when he noticed a woman in high heels. He followed her home and waited for her to go to bed. Then he broke into her house, strangled her into unconsciousness, and assaulted her. When he was done, he took her shoes and left. He would later testify that the woman's body had aroused him. And this was the start of his killing spree. Linda Slauson, an encyclopedia saleswoman who knocked on Jerry's door January 26, 1968. He lured her in while his wife and kids were home. Unfortunately, Linda was strangled. He even dressed her up in different underwear and shoes he stolen, using a hacksaw to cut off her left foot, keeping Linda's foot in the freezer to use to model for his high heel collection. He tied Slauson's body to a car engine and dumped it into the Willamette River. I hope I'm saying that right. How he would usually pick his victims, he would drive for hours and hours around town, and if he saw a woman that wore high heels, then he would lure them back to his home. His next victim, Jan Whitney, car would break down on November 26, 1968. Jerry lied, saying that he would call a tow truck. She was strangled with a leather belt and assaulted in the car. She was in the garage for several days. He took photos, dressed her up, cutting one of her breasts, he assaulted her body multiple times after her death. He then threw her body in the river, tying her to a railroad iron. Karen Spinker, 18, was kidnapped at gunpoint outside of a department store on March 27, 1969. Karen would end up in the same garage as the other victims, where he would force her to try on his underwear collection. He took photos of her and also sexually assaulted her, then strangled her using a pulley. He did disgusting things to her body, and again, he cut her breasts to make molds out of them. He tied her body and threw her in the same river as the other victims. Sharon Wood, he tried to kidnap her on April 21st, 1967. It didn't work. Gloria Greensmith, he tried to kidnap her as well on April 22nd, 1969. Linda Sully was kidnapped from a shopping mall parking lot on April 23, 1967. Unfortunately, Linda did not survive. He did the same thing that he did with his other victims, and he even played with her dead body. He tossed her body in the same river. She was tied to a car transmission. By that time, he had trophies from his victims, keeping them in his garage. There's other disgusting things that he would do. I think that I'm not going to say it on here. It's very disturbing. You guys can research it and read it on your own time. But just for the sake of my mental health, I'm not going to say it on here. So it's up to you. May of 1969, the victims' bodies were found by a fisherman. Sally's body was found in the Long Tom River, weighed down by a car part. Sprinker's body was found when police searched the river. Even more. Investigators would ask around campus about a strange man, and it would lead them to Jerry. Investigators were really suspicious of him from the start. One of the women told the police that he had mentioned the bodies in the river and had made an unsettling suggestion about how he would strangle her. The police asked one of the girls to set up another date with Jerry. Then they swooped in to interrogate him, and they quickly decided to investigate further. They were able to catch him because they found the same copper wire that was used to tie up his victims. There was a nylon rope, photographs of the dead women, and he gets arrested and confesses to the murders. Jerry would be charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences. He wasn't charged for Slauson's murder only because her body was never found, so who knows what he did. A month after his conviction, Whitney's body was found. Darcy was arrested along with her husband and charged as an accomplice. She was never charged for murder. She divorced him right after his arrest. She also changed her name and her kids' names and moved away to an undisclosed location. But even though you've changed your name, people can still find out like your fake name and where you live and stuff like that. But I understand why she did what she did. While incarcerated, he would keep women's shoe catalogs in his cell. Jerry would die of cancer in 2006 at the age of 67, only serving 37 years of his sentence. Let me know what you guys think. Do you think that if he wasn't abused by his mother and he didn't get in trouble for wearing, you know, heels as a kid, do you think he would have had a different life? Or would you think that he would be the same? As always, thank you guys for supporting me on my journey and subscribing to me. It means a lot to me. I never got the chance to fully express that on here, so I just want to say thank you for your support and thank you so much. And I hope to see you guys again next week with a new Never Too Much True Crime case. Bye, guys.